Praise the Lord. All right, let's read this scripture again before we pray over the tithes and offerings. Matthew 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Amen. You have it, he will add it more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, you'll be enriched. Seek him, you'll be enriched in every way, every way, every way, every way, every way, so that you may be generous on every occasion, which is producing through us thanksgiving to God. Because of your generosity, we all thank God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring the tithes to worship you. Thank you, Father, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Acknowledging the silver and gold on this earth is yours. And you have created it on this earth, not for the devil, but for us. We thank you for the seed that we bring as offering. We sow and shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Today I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit working with us. Amen. Praise God. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another comforter or helper. New King James say helper, but Amplify says he's a comforter, also a counselor, also helper, intercessor, and of course, you know, supplicator, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. So all these attributes of the Holy Spirit also abides in us. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, our ever-present helper, is a constant source of support and guidance in our lives, right? The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Amplified Version gives us another meaning of the Greek word translated as comforter. And he's the counselor, helper, intercessor, and supplicator, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Resides within our spirit, embodying his multifaceted nature. We continue to look to the Holy Spirit as our helper today. Let me read you this testimony. Felicia's testimony. She said recently the Holy Spirit prompted her to closely examine an immigration form before our company signs it. I sense the Holy Spirit prompting me not to submit the document as it didn't protect the company. From the start, I felt uneasy. From the start, she felt uneasy. That's also the Holy Spirit is trying to help her already, right? Uneasiness. If you feel an uneasiness, don't ignore that uneasiness. And she, two things. The Holy Spirit prompted her to closely examine an immigration form because from the start, she felt uneasy about working with this new owner. Praise God for protecting my job and guiding me not to submit the document. It turns out the Filipina lady which we were going to hire was blacklisted. Amen. That's how he helps us. So learn not to ignore that prompting. Amen. Learn not to ignore the prompting. Learn to respond to him. And she shared a testimony. It's not just sharing a testimony. When you share a testimony, of course, you know, other people also can be encouraged and learn from the testimony. But you always do something to you, right? You learn to speak when he wants you to speak. Amen. Right? When God wants you to speak, what do? You speak up right now. Amen. Praise God. All right. The Holy Spirit labor with us. Today we're studying how is he working with us. In this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Right? We are laborers together with God. So because he labors with us. Amen. You are God's husbandry. That means you are God's garden. Another word for husbandry is garden. You are God's building. You are God's garden. He tends and he cares, but he also builds his garden. You are also his building. And the word laborer means working together, joining or helping in work. So we labor with God. He labors with us. So the Holy Spirit is God and our Lord. He's working together with us to help us. The word laborer means working together, joining or helping in work. So the Holy Spirit is God and Lord. He's working together with us to help us, be it in our secular jobs, studies, and spiritual works. The Holy Spirit is working together with us. Amen. So the testimony was timely. So she sensed that there was an uneasiness, then there was a prompting. Amen. Right? Uneasiness is really, you must never ignore. After that, you know, once there's an uneasiness, it gets your attention, then you be attentive to his promptings, what he wants you to do. Amen. Prompted her not to submit that document. Amen. So another thing is, next time, you know, due diligence is checked, man, everybody. Check it up, man. Check up their qualifications and all, whatever. Amen. So be it our secular job, study spiritual works. The Holy Spirit is working together with us. Ask Him to help us. He doesn't do the work, He helps us. So when you say, help me, Lord, He is not going to do the work for us. He will help us. And the Holy Spirit is someone who works together with us. He helps some more than others because some have learned to yield to Him more than others. Amen. So He couldn't help some because they're not yielded, right? How do we be more yielded? Always respond to Him quickly, promptly. Amen. Especially when He instructs you. The rest doesn't matter. He instructs you something, you just do it. Whatever He tells you, right? You just put every of your reasons aside. Amen. Even though you may think that no faith, so be it. You want your faith, you want to miss the Holy Spirit. Next time, He can cost you more, right? He wants to help you do everything if you learn to yield to Him. Let's look at Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3, and I filled him with the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and now God spoke to him to build the tabernacle. Tabernacle is a temple. The only difference between a tabernacle and temple, a temple is permanent building. Tabernacle, they dismantled it and they move on and they erect it again. I filled him, this Bezalel, with the Spirit of God. And when he was filled, I mean, in those days, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in their spirit. That means, you know, they were filled. Filled means the Holy Spirit came upon them, anointed them. They were filled with what? In wisdom. So the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled with wisdom. In wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge. There's always these three elements there. Right? There are always wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in all manner of workmanship. Workmanship in building the temple. These were craftsmen. To build natural tabernacle temple, the Spirit of God came upon them, was given to them. They were filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, whatever you're doing in the natural, the Spirit of God that's in you can fill you with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge concerning natural things you are doing. So that in all manner of workmanship, they have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. When it comes from the Holy Spirit, that means it's spiritual in nature. So even though you may be studying computer or data analytics, it seems natural, but actually it's spiritual. Amen. What is this in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge is concerning the workmanship of building the tabernacle. It's natural craftsmanship. But the wisdom and knowledge comes from the Spirit of God. Anything that comes from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is spiritual in nature. Verse 4, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver. So these craftsmen were not priests that ministered in the temple or tabernacle of Moses, but they were craftsmen who were supposed to build the tabernacle. But they needed they could learn all these skills from somebody else. But the Holy Spirit filled them with this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that they may be able to work with gold and silver and bronze. Verse 5, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. Let me ask you a question. Why have jewels, gold and silver, all those, right? The presence of God just fills that place. That's more important than all these natural things, all right? They just have some, you know, jewels, right? So God had given Bezalel the Spirit of God. In other words, God had anointed Bezalel, and the Spirit of God came upon him to fill his mind with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of natural abilities and expertise in all kinds of crafts. Remember the scripture that says He gives us power to get wealth, to establish His covenant. Actually, Jesus' resurrection established the new covenant with His blood. we are to expand his covenant that he established. So how did he give power to get wealth to establish his covenant? Who established the covenant? Jesus died and rose again. His new blood covenant was established. Amen. So what does it mean that he gives men and women the power to get wealth to establish his covenant? The only way is to continue to expand his covenant is establishing his covenant until the day he comes. So the Holy Spirit imparts wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for natural ability and expertise for all kinds of works. So the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts and manifests the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. He is also able to impart natural abilities and gifts. When our natural ability is insufficient, he manifests the gifts of the Spirit to enable us to perform the task supernaturally. Even though you're doing it naturally, but actually there's a supernatural enablement from the Holy Spirit. That's how he works with us. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I bind you, I rebuke you, I command you to stop operating and maneuvering against Felicia in the workplace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Exodus 31, verse 6. So just on the testimony, she said, you know, it didn't affect her job. So that's why it's very important. Like for example, she's in the prayer group. Amen. Praise the Lord. And sometimes, you know, when we're confronted with issues like that, do you take authority? You did. Well, good. You did. Oh, the prayer room, we all charged up the prayer room already. Because the Bible school is renting her company's training room. Good. Amen. So, you know, next time before the school use your place, you take authority against anything. But in the natural, you need to really search out all these people, especially their qualifications, you know. Praise God. Thank you, Father. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us. 2 things. She sensed an uneasiness. Right? Secondly, the Holy Spirit prompted her. Amen. Exodus 31, verse 6. And indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, Moses. God commanded Moses, he put the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I mean, in this case, he just mentioned wisdom, but of course, there's knowledge and understanding. Amen. That's why we pray the efficient prayer, the Spirit of God. Thank God for our church. Thank God for the school. Thank you, Father, for giving me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Students, you always pray that. Amen. Praise God. Because you don't see what's in the realm of the Spirit, how the spiritual forces can come against you, right? Just like Felicia's situation. Amen. Praise God. There's a front part of the testimony I don't want to read to you. It's more serious than that. It's more serious than what I've just read. But it was in the prayer report. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So that's why I say it's very important that what we teach here, when we constantly teach, you come under that spiritual environment. So that's why the first thing I asked her, I thought she won't take authority. She said she did. First thing, she went into that prayer room that all the students were, and then she took authority. Yes, yeah, this is how I think. You just take authority and ask God for wisdom how to deal with the issue. Amen. But if you don't follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, praise God. God help you. Amen. So you always learn to yield to Him, learn to sense, learn to develop the habit of not ignoring the Holy Spirit when He prompts. You sense something, don't ignore. You say, oh, you thought you have a bad night. No, you didn't have a bad night. Amen. Then you're aware of Him. You're aware of the sensing. Next thing, you'll be aware of the prompting. Then you need to do something about it. Amen. Then you dealt with the whole situation. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So, verse 6, I put the wisdom in the hands of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. So God gave assistance to Bezalel to help him to build the tabernacle of Moses. God gave the instruction to Moses to build. God gave wisdom to others to help him to build. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Moses spent 40 days up on the mountain. He received all the instructions, the 10 commandments, all other commandments, and the instructions to build the tabernacle. But God gave wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to others to help him. They all needed natural gifts to build the tabernacle. The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for these natural gifts came from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? Exodus 31, verse 7. The tabernacle of meeting the Ark of the Testimony and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle they had to build. All these artisans. Verse 8, Exodus 31, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense. Verse 9, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils and the laver and its base. Verse 10, Exodus 31, the garments of the ministry the priest wore, the holy garments for Aaron the high priest, the garments of his sons to minister as priests. Verse 11, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I've commanded you, they shall do. Right? These were all natural things, but the Spirit of God imparted spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for natural things. Amen. So you don't separate the two. You need to study in the natural. You need to do your work. You need to do your business in the natural. Look to Him for impartation of spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. These were all natural things, amen? The Spirit of God gave them the ideas. When He imparts wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, what's in the knowledge and understanding? Ideas and how to apply those ideas, amen? And the wisdom to apply it at the right time and the right place. In the past, many inventions were given by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to men and women. For example, laser surgery. Right? Last time, Lynn Hammond prayed out, and God spoke to her, said, you pray for the doctors. The doctors were not Christians. He said, you pray, I'm going to give them a breakthrough in laser technology. Praise the Lord. Communion with the Holy Spirit. Working with us. He works with us. We need to commune with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So the word communion means fellowship, communion, sharing, participation, right? Sharing. You can share with the Holy Spirit shares with you, and He may have you share with somebody else, right? That conveys a sense of commonality, solidarity, and shared responsibility among you and the Holy Spirit. So we can experience a deep sense of fellowship, communion, and sharing with the Holy Spirit. He is always ready to participate in our situations, demonstrating the concept of communion with the Holy Spirit. Communion means the sharing or exchange intimate thoughts, feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. Amen. When you fellowship with Him, He can share with you. In a deeper realm, He can share with you, exchange intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on the mental or spiritual level. We should ask the Holy Spirit to help us with life issues, share with Him, though He knows, fellowship with Him, and He may show you things to come. Amen. Sometimes you just talk to Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What we must not do to the Holy Spirit. We must not resist the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 51, talks about Stephen. Stephen was about to be executed, martyred. Then he was relating when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness. He said, they were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. And you always resist the Holy Spirit, not just one time, always. As your father did, so do you. So Stephen was arrested, and before he was executed, he rebuked the religious, unsaved people, saying they always resist the Holy Spirit because they were the ones who arrested him and wanted to execute him. And the word stiff-necked means stubborn. The stubborn Israelites were determined to do what they wanted and refused to obey the Holy Spirit's instruction, right? And in the wilderness, they refused to cross into the promised land. When Moses wanted to lead them into the promised land, they asked for spies to be sent. So Moses sent 12 spies from 12 tribes into the promised land. They came back, they said, no, we cannot go into the promised land. So they refused to go in, right? Then after that, you know, the Lord spoke, and then they regretted. Then they wanted to go in. And the Lord told them, don't go in. Don't go in and possess the land. The Lord spoke to them to possess the land. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and they insist of sending in the spies, and Moses sent in the spies from each tribe. And they came back. They saw the land was good land. They saw two things: the good part of the land, the bad part of the land. The good aspect of the land, it was very fertile, producing good fruits and honey. Right? He said, man, it was a good land. No, it wasn't a bad land. But they saw the enemies were giants in the land. But what they could not see was the giants were really afraid of them because they heard they crossed the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea for them to cross, and they heard of it. They were afraid of the Israelites. Amen. So they didn't want to cross. Then after that, then the Lord rebuked them, and then they were crying, and they said, all right, we will cross. But God spoke to Moses. He said, tell them, don't cross because I'm not with you. When God spoke to them to cross the first time, actually God spoke to them long, long time ago, right? It's just that they were in captivity in Egypt for 430 years. When the time came, because Promised Land was the land that God promised to them, because it's in the Promised Land, that's where Jerusalem, Bethlehem, that's where Jesus is going to come. It cannot be changed. But yet, when God spoke to them, to Moses, to go in, they refused to go in. The second time when they go in, God said, you better don't go in because I'm not with you. And they went in. They still go. God spoke to go in. They didn't want to go in. God spoke the second time, don't go in. They went in. And they were defeated. And then quite a number of them were killed in the Promised Land. And they came back. Another thing is, from here, we can understand another aspect of the nature of God. Amen. When God speaks, don't argue. Just absolutely obey Him. Amen. Because there are situations you don't want to miss the time. Right? When you miss the timing, you want to go in, and it's over. You cannot go in. The whole generation never go in. They die in the wilderness. God just raised up the next generation. And it's the same as business opportunities. Sometimes you're not supposed to go in, right? Don't go in to take that deal. Sometimes God told you to go in to take that deal. You don't go in, that's it. The next time you go in, He'll wipe you out. Amen. Now, I've always been emphasizing, always develop the habit of quickly obey Him, obey His prompting. Be sensitive when you sense something that's amiss. Amen. Just don't argue with the Holy Spirit, that's all. If He tells you to do something, just shut your mouth and do it. Amen. Praise God. And can you see how stubborn they were? At first, they didn't want to go in. The second time, God spoke very specifically, don't go in because I'm not with you. They didn't care. They went in. And quite a number of them died in Promised Land. They came back. Why was it like that? I mean, the Promised Land was meant for them, but correct now. Right? How come the second time they obeyed God and God didn't want to go with them? Amen? So in the wilderness, they refused to go in. When we do not follow His leading, we are resisting Him. Amen? So don't resist the Holy Spirit. Right? You can resist anybody on this earth. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Right? Second thing, don't quench not the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. To quench means to put out or extinguish. We extinguish His prompting. We can extinguish the fire of the Holy Ghost. We can pray till the point we pray with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And when He prompts us to pray and in another occasion, during an inconvenient occasion, inconvenient time, we ignore Him. We will quench the fire of the prayer. Amen. Another example is when the Holy Spirit manifests His gifts in the congregation to minister to the people's needs. And people show no respect for the Holy Spirit's works. People in the service talk loudly, fool around, do other things that do not honor God, the Holy Spirit, in manifestation, who is trying to get someone healed of a serious condition. This will quench the Holy Spirit and He will stop manifesting. Amen. We resist Him by not doing what He wants us to do. We can quench Him through our actions. Amen. Not honoring Him. Right. Thirdly, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63 verse 10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. I mean, he turned against them means he just turned his hand loose. Right? God doesn't fight them, you know. So Israel will not enter the promised land because they rebel against God's instruction. After the Lord dealt with them and told them not to enter, they insisted on entering. Disobedience to the Lord grieved the Holy Spirit. As they insisted on entering the promised land, they were badly defeated, and God allowed the enemy in the promised land to fight and defeat them. And now God fought against them. So, it grieves the Holy Spirit, amen? And sometimes, because of somebody else disobedient or being stubborn, you can sense the grief of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved. Fourthly, insult not the Holy Spirit. Actually, this scripture talks about Hebrews chapter 10, but Hebrews chapter 6 gives us the five conditions, but most people won't fulfill that five conditions, okay? So you won't know until the Lord shows you, but you probably won't come across. Hebrews chapter 6 gives us five conditions why somebody can lose salvation. Then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Just think of how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. Now, when they insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit this way, they cannot repent and turn back already. There's no hope for them. That's how people lose their salvation. I mean, because they rejected Christ. So think how much worse the punishment will be. And in fact, the New King James said, we've been sanctified by the blood covenant. So this scripture is not talking about unbelievers. It's talking about Christians, right? Because Christians are only ones sanctified by the blood covenant. Sanctified means the blood covenant sets you apart after you're born again. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 6 talks about we partakers of the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers are not partakers of the Holy Spirit. Partakers means have a share of the Holy Spirit. How you have a share of the Holy Spirit? We are born again. You have a share of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit creates a new nature in you. And with the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit in your spirit, that's how you are partakers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10 talks about Christians, but don't go and imagine more. Maybe this person loses their salvation. If you had those thoughts about somebody, forget it. Amen. You won't know. Amen. Unless the Lord shows you. And the Lord won't show you. If it is also, He won't show you unnecessarily. There's no need to show you. So you won't come across people who will fulfill the five conditions. Amen. But I'm trying to show you here is this. Don't call those things as common. That means don't take it for granted. The blood covenant. Right, we are sanctified, separated by the blood covenant. Don't think it's a common thing, an unholy thing. You trample the blood of Jesus underfoot. So when we take Holy Communion, we are doing in remembrance what Jesus did, the blood covenant. Amen. When you take Holy Communion, today is Holy Communion. You do it with honor and respect. Don't take for granted. Amen. Even though we are taking Holy Communion, the bread and the juice, Ribena juice, is a natural thing, but it's a spiritual remembrance. We remember what Jesus did on the cross, and there's spiritual power released into this place, into our lives, when we take Holy Communion with honor and respect for what Jesus has done. Because it's not a common thing. Amen. Then we won't insult and disdain. Other versions say, other meanings are, despite, don't despise the Holy Spirit. Speak against in a rude and an arrogant lack of respect way of the Holy Spirit. Despise, other meaning, despise, mocking Him. We ensure we don't have this attitude against the Holy Spirit of grace. Amen. Praise God. We don't treat the blood covenant a common thing, unholy thing. Right? We treat it with honor and respect because it helps us remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.